Hello everyone and welcome to GFG tonight for some war updates. Hashtag Russophobia was trending on Twitter. It's funny because it forces Twitter to say a little bit of comments about this. And Twitter titled it that way. Many push back against prejudice towards Russian people and culture as the country's president Vladimir Putin leads the invasion of Ukraine. We had a guy bring this on Australian TV, I believe it was, and he was kicked off the stage. Of course, there has been a big Russophobia problem in Ukraine, and it's at the heart of this war, or at least the justification for this war. Today we have new footage of Western journalists suffering the damages of war, and Sprocket was alarmed at my reaction of yesterday. And he says as a super chat, I wonder if this one will make him giggle as much as the Sky News ambush did. What, you think I'm giggling when I see journalists under the pressure of war? Well, in a way I am, because I can't help but think that journalists live in a parallel reality at times, a reality that they construct through the media. And that, you know, when I look at my life, I don't have the luxury of Western journalists. I don't have the luxury of being part of a social network that will defend me no matter what. And so I kind of live in a state of war and terror in my head every day because of cancel culture, because I can lose my Twitter account, because this and that can happen to me. And I can be targeted even in real life by oppressive forces. And who knows, maybe one day I will be annoying so much that someone will want to kill me. But it's very fun to see a Western journalist in a context of war, because they are taken out of their dream world and they are facing the reality that they've been wanting to cover. Armaluchis says, does anyone else get a 404 error when trying to use the pop-out chat? Did they introduce a pop-out chat? Cool. Ah, I had asked for this. Very cool. It's now available. Well, I won't click on it during the show because I don't want to cause an error, but hopefully it works. It's a new option. I'm very happy because it helps me when I want to follow the chat while I do the show. It's very hard if there's no pop-out. Sprocket had sent super chats during the night. He said, one, if elections cannot wash the sins of Ukraine, can an invasion? Two, for how long will Ukrainians actively resist the occupation? Keep up the good coverage of the mostly peaceful Russian invasion. Mostly peaceful. On the first question, he's referring to the fact that I said, is it the case that because there has been multiple elections since the ousting of Yanukovych, that Ukraine kind of, that you cannot reproach to Ukraine to have to be a country taken over by revolutionaries? And my point on that was, no matter how many elections happen, it remains the case that the population has been intimidated. They've been told, if you keep voting for pro-Russian people, we're going to put snipers downtown and we're going to overthrow them. So to me, no matter how many elections, it's illegitimate. The current regime of Ukraine is illegitimate in that sense. It has been obtained through violence, and it doesn't matter if further votes happen, because those votes are done, in my view, without consent. They are done under intimidation, the general context of intimidation that exists throughout Ukraine. So, and then you ask, well, could an invasion wash the sins of Ukraine? Well, certainly, I wouldn't either see a government that is installed by an invasion as legitimate from a democratic perspective, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a conquest here. So maybe down the line, in decades from now, we can reach the point where Ukraine is a democratic society. But it wasn't before the Russian invasion, and it probably won't be after the Russian invasion for a long while. My question that I ask when I say, is this country democratic. And I don't even mean to sanctify democracy. I don't even believe in democracy. But there's still a question of whether a given government represents the will of the people. And I don't think that a government that gets installed by force, so by military invasion, is democratically legitimate. And but I don't care. And I don't think that a government that is the result of an overthrow is legitimate either, especially not a violent overthrow. So that's my position. Now you say, for how long will the Ukrainians actively resist? Oh, this, it depends on the behavior of Russia, and it depends on what Russia wants. If Russia wants to go urban warfare and civil oppression, they're in for years and years of endless conflict. They're going to be facing a ghost, and they're going to be facing a citizenry that is resisting in a kind of anonymous way, popping here and there with acts of resistance, Molotov cocktails, that kind of stuff. So I don't expect this to be what Russia wants. I believe that what Russia would want is to stay out of too much civilian oppression, because it's just unmanageable. I mean, it's not even worth the money and the efforts you pour in. So I suspect that what Russia would want ideally is that they can win a victory that everyone accepts, at least in a part of Ukraine, and they accept that they've been defeated, and they leave the Western Ukraine potentially to become the new Ukraine, and they take over the eastern part, closing the belt, perhaps further than the Dnieper River. But they may want even more. They may realize then that the West is in a position of weakness, and they may want to take it all. It all depends on what Russia wants. If it wants the 2/3 of Ukraine and a local administration that will handle the people and everything, they might accomplish this in a couple of months. But if they want full control of Ukraine and not too much civilian casualties, and keeping the current people of Ukraine as the inhabitants of this new country that they would form, that would be more complicated. That would be more day-to-day operation in urban context with lots of resistance. And this could take many years. In fact, could never really end up being accomplished. Sprocket had also sent a second super chat, $5. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, I saw your take on the video of a Sky News team getting ambushed and shot at. What was so funny that it made you laugh and smile repeatedly? I must have misunderstood what was going on in the video. No, you hadn't misunderstood. I find this funny to see Western journalists under context of war that they thought they would be protected from. It's fun to see them realize the reality of the world when cancel culture is worth nothing, zero. You know, it's one, the force of Western journalism is social rejection and kind of feminized cancel culture. And when the bullets start raining from the sky, when the shells are dropping and exploding around you, this has zero value. You cannot cancel a bullet. And that's beautiful. Nexta says, Russia began active preparations for disconnection from the global internet. No later than March 11, all servers and domains must be transferred to the Russian zone. In addition, detailed data on the network infrastructure of the sites is being collected. If that tweet is correct, although some people are arguing in the comments that this is an overinterpretation, that Russia is merely securing the infrastructure so that it can have control over it. But we could be seeing the development of a parallel internet. Eventually, you couldn't connect through regular IPs to the intranet of Russia. It's very possible that this is what will arise. I mean, they're saying all Russian citizens must bring into the country their servers. That would mean they will lose connection. Sometime in March, they will lose connection with the rest of the world. That would be dramatic for the internet. But maybe that's the way things go, you know. Dave Rubin had been starting locals saying, you know, the future is not a public internet. It's a more private spaces where you can't be targeted by cancel culture. Maybe that is the sad direction the internet is taking. I will always root for an open internet if that happens. I also had a super chat last night just before I closed the show, but I didn't have time to read it. Phytosoraptor was asking about the Lugol solution for iodine for protection against radiation. He was saying, is that good? As far as I know, it's what's being distributed. It is the Lugol solution is what it is. It's a solution of potassium iodine, and whether you have one potassium iodide of a certain kind or some other brand, it's pretty much the same. The only thing that will vary is concentration, and Lugol has been used in the context of preventing radiation damage in pregnant women and babies. So that's what you would want, but again, as I've said yesterday, the iodide solution, the potassium iodine solution is something you would take last resort when you know you're going to be exposed to radiation, because it can have damaging effects on your thyroid if you would take it. So it's really something you do to avoid dying. Go away, says JF. I don't think they will annex Eastern Ukraine. They want a neutral buffer state in the long run. They will leave the East as part of Ukraine, so they have a voting bloc that supports them. They will integrate the remaining Ukraine elite in their own power structure. It's possible. It's possible. That would be the state, probably, of what Vladimir Putin would have wanted years ago. However, here's the thing. In the current cancellation of Russia that's happening, I think that this makes it increasingly likely that Vladimir Putin will be unsatisfied with what would have been his original request. So the problem is, if Russia is truly isolated from the world, is there really such a thing as a true buffer zone anymore? And look at how certain countries like Sweden, Norway, northern countries have succeeded at kind of remaining neutral toward Russia, but being totally westernized. And, you know, if tomorrow morning a massive conflict was to happen between NATO and Russia, what side do you think these countries would take? Of course, they would take NATO. And so perhaps Vladimir Putin will start being worried about, if I leave Ukraine outside of my Iron Curtain, you know, can Ukraine remain a buffer zone in any sense of the word? Because we've seen what the Western governments are doing. They are using Ukraine as proxy. They are sending, they're dealing, right now they're having a deal where, okay, we want Poland to be giving jets to Ukraine, but we don't want those to be American jets. So what we're going to do is Poland is going to give some jets to Ukraine, and then America will give some jets to Poland as a kind of exchange. That is a sign that Western governments are willing to be as dirty as they can in their conquest, their imperialistic conquest of the countries around Russia. They're willing to make it look like it's not them when it's them. And if I'm Vladimir Putin and I see this, I would conclude Ukraine cannot be a buffer zone if it's not inside Russia. And that's why yesterday you had Putin say, you know, everything that's happening is putting into question the statehood of Ukraine. And I get it. Can you have a Ukraine that resists Western influence? I don't think you can, not if it's outside Russia. So the only way to accomplish Putin's goal would be to include Ukraine inside Russia. all right. Russia's invasion of Ukraine mapped what happened on day 11. Look, Kiev is getting bordered on the east, and so the full plan of the siege is getting accomplished. We had a bombardment of an airport in Vinnytsia. I suspect that Venezia, being more Western, was an airport that was the site of a lot of air capacities for Ukraine. The airport has been completely neutralized. It was two types of airports in one. It was both commercial and military. The airfields have been bombarded. The airport has been bombarded. A total of 8 big missiles. We have the images, so that's an important progress. They say they have captured Russian soldiers, and Zelensky says, we have looked at their maps, and I reveal to the world that they have the intent of bombing Odessa. And it's like, wow, really? Good intelligence work. It was pretty clear that this was going to happen. I mean, either Odessa will submit and surrender, or it will get bombed like every single city along the way. It's like, we have discovered that they're planning to bomb Odessa. Yeah. They're planning to bomb any city that doesn't surrender. That's what will happen. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, did Poland not deny any jets to Ukraine? I thought I saw this today. Originally, NATO had expressed some reservations, but today there are news that America is open to the deal and there is congressional talk. Now, it needs to be approved by Congress, but it seems that there are people activated in the Senate right now to make the deal happen. And this is the most stupid thing, absolutely ridiculous, because you want to make it look like, oh, we're not engaged in the conflict, but it won't count when Vladimir Putin decides, all right, I've had enough of the Ukraine conflict, I'm going to start avenging the people who have attacked us. And this could be 1 year down the line. But you're just giving Vladimir Putin a legitimate reason to strike a potentially an American city or a European city, potentially Poland, potentially America. I don't know. I don't know what he's capable of, but you're giving him the key to do it. So, very bad decision. But the Senate is currently considering making the Poland jet switch deal. All of this for what? It's like, oh, in my head, it's not a participation to the Ukraine conflict. Well, in your head, it doesn't change anything. The question is, what's in the head of Putin? And if Putin decides to interpret this as a direct involvement of America in the conflict, it's not irrational. It would make sense. IAEA, extremely concerned, Zaporizhzhia nuclear plant is under Russian control, communications switched off. So the nuclear plant that has been captured by the Russian forces is unable to communicate with the outside at this point. It is totally under Russian control. The internet capacities have been switched so that it's totally under Russian control. And so the Ukrainian army, the Ukrainian government doesn't have access to even monitoring the plant from a traditional perspective, from the path of communications that they used to have. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, what do you make of the Pentagon directing Putin to destroy bioweapons lab in Ukraine? It's not what is claimed. I believe that you are presenting it incorrectly. Breaking, Russia publishes documents which show Ukraine was working on biological weapons near Russian borders, such as anthrax and plague, and that the Pentagon has instructed to destroy them, violating Article 1 UN prohibition of biological weapons. These are US-funded labs. This is extremely important. So look at this. They were working on extremely dangerous microbes, that the function of these weapons can only be to kill massive amounts of people in a town, civilians, indiscriminately. It's illegal by international law. And once again, the freaking dirty American government was funding this indirectly because we can't quite do this in the US. So, oh, how about we choose another country to do it there? That's what they did with COVID in China. Oh, we can't do gain of function research. Oh, how about we send money to Eco Health Alliance and maybe, you know, they'll know what to do. And they were doing the same thing with Ukraine. Ah, we can't do bioweapons research. How about we do it in Ukraine? How's that working for you, America? You've caused, through your funding of the Chinese lab, a massive pandemic. And now you're causing a massive war in Ukraine. I'm looking at this. This is being developed at the border of Russia. Salmonella, typhimurium, I mean, anthrax, that kind of stuff. Candida albicans. You want to give Candida albicans? You want to give vagina irritations to Russians? Really? If I'm Vladimir Putin, I want this shit destroyed. So it makes sense. Invading Ukraine makes total sense. It's like, oh, I see you've been playing with vagina ruining mushrooms and yeast and bacteria. I see you've been playing just around my border with all sorts of dangerous pathogens. And all that it would need to actually ruin my country is not even a missile shooting this over my town. You could just release them covertly. You could just make an accident and it would ruin my country. Now people say on the regular chat, clean your penis, Jeff. Yes, that is the Joe Rogan response to this, but Vladimir Putin has a different take. Joe Rogan looks at this and says, clean your penis. Vladimir Putin says, I will invade Ukraine. Go away, says, can we just end science as a whole already? Causes more harm than good. We should just return to the monk already. Yes, I'm totally for it. That's the whole idea of my book. Oh my god. Here's my book. That's the whole idea of the revolutionary phenotype. Let's just stop genetic research. So it's not that they're asking the Russians to destroy the bioweapons lab. My understanding, although it's all written in Ukrainian and Russian, I don't know. I don't know how to read these languages, but my understanding is they're asking the Ukrainians to destroy these bacteria. Well, when you do that kind of research, it will end up in various hands, and maybe some of it will end up aerosolized by a Russian strike. Now we have one more problem on our hands. Kyiv failed. What Russia said on humanitarian corridor in Ukraine, so the Russian government is saying, look, we did everything we could to make a humanitarian corridor happen. They did some shit because it didn't happen, and it's not our fault. So around Mariupol, I've seen videos of the Azov battalion telling civilians there won't be any evacuations, and yet I have the Russians telling me on their side, no, we were ready for the evacuation. So what is there to believe here? Is the Azov battalion deceiving the civilians so that they stay in Mariupol so that they can get more international sympathy? It looks like it. I don't know. Maybe there were some units of the Russian army that were unaware and they started shelling, but I've not seen video evidence of this. All I've seen is there were civilians packed in a certain place in Mariupol and some Azov battalion guys came in and said, no, you're not leaving Mariupol. Is that the Ukraine side using civilians as shield, potentially? This is the warning of Vladimir Putin to countries that provide jets like Poland US gives Poland the green light to give Ukraine a MiG fighter jets as Russia warns it is at war with any country hosting Kyiv's aircraft and points finger at Romania as top American general inspects troops in Europe. So this whole game of proxy war with Russia is not an intelligent thing to play. Eventually, you know, it's very clear it's done publicly. So Putin has all of the proofs that he needs to say, you know what, it was driven by a Ukrainian soldier, but ultimately the Ukrainian army wouldn't have had these aircrafts if it wasn't of Poland. So Poland is to be conquered too. And ultimately, these aircrafts wouldn't have been in Poland if it wasn't of the US. So the US is to be punished too. Russian banks switch to Chinese card system as American Express joins Visa and MasterCard in suspending Russian operations. Today, American Express did the same thing as MasterCard and Visa. No more cross-border operations, although they could still be used within Russia by the versions of their credit cards that are emitted by local Russian banks would still work in Russia. But Russia is switching to the Chinese system. And that's important. We're about to see the development of an Eastern superpower. I like it. I like this. We will have China and Russia constituting a true force of leverage against the West. And the West has already abandoned much of its manufacturing capacity to China. Now China may become the next giant of financial transactions across the world. By doing what? By simply doing what America initially did and Europe initially did, by being the most opened, the most available. And that means not using your relationship with Russia as a way to make moral displays toward your own population. Zelensky, Russia announced that tomorrow it will be bombing our defense industry enterprises. Most of them are located in our cities with civilians around. It's a murder, simply a murder. And I didn't see any world leader react to it today, any Western politician. I think that's great. Russia is telling you in advance, we're going to bombard your defense industry. So that means anything where you produce anything that could end up in the hand of a soldier, tanks, planes, guns, knives, whatever, we're going to bombard the whole thing. So do not send civilians in those manufacturers. I think it's extremely generous of Russia to be warning you in advance. So how about you don't make the same error as you did with Kyiv, keeping civilians there, keeping civilians in places that you know are going to be sieged and striked. But you can't do it, right? You absolutely want those civilians to be forced to work in these manufacturers so you can get photo opportunities and you can increase your civilian death count. It's not murder, because he's telling you, don't send people to those places. And no one will be dead. So the ball is in your camp, Zelensky. What we've seen today is an accomplishment of the eastern flanking of Kyiv. I mean, not fully, but you can see that there are starting to be warring happening here. It's not all Russia vanquishing. At times it is Russia actually getting destroyed, and we'll see some videos of it. But Kyiv is getting siege properly. And there's now 95% of the forces that had been accumulated at the border of Russia that are inside Ukraine, although we've not seen, because many of these forces are still in transportation, we've not seen the total potential of these forces in terms of combat engagement. But the siege of Kyiv is getting completed. I suspect that tomorrow or tonight will be a massive opportunity for bombardments from the air, and that Ukraine's capacity to produce any kind of new material will be completely neutralized. This what you're facing is the full force of the Russian army. I had told you at the beginning, surrender now. They're going to neutralize all of your functioning. They are increasingly controlling your electricity. Mariupol, no service, no electricity, nothing available there. They're going to do the same with the rest of Ukraine. All you can do is make it slower. So surrender now. Tonight will be a massive destruction of your functionalities and your manufacturing capacities. You're going to be left with only what you have in hand in terms of ammo, whatever. All right. Let's start watching the videos of today, including this incredible capture of a shelling in the streets by a camera. And there's also a photograph. This is the Western journalist that is getting shelled. Look at this. It's quite shocking. Just as a warning for those people who are sensitive, we're about to see images of war. I don't like showing victims, you know, and blood, so I will try to make it minimal, but it can still be shocking what we're going to review. There's a couple of videos tonight that are explosions and that kind of stuff. So here they're filming this this soldier from the Ukrainian army who's disabled perhaps by a strike previously. And I think he's complaining that children are getting targeted or something of that kind. And you will see to his right, you will see a shell coming, and it all happens in a fraction of a second. Look at this.
Shit.
And look at this, she's already on her photograph and she's like, we need to capture this. This is Western journalists trying to get the best image they can from a shelling that just happened. Let's rewatch it because it's extremely quick how it happens.
Дітей 200-х вивозили, мирне населення, маленькі.
А так film. Shit.
She's there with her photograph and she's like, I want to capture some of this as it happens. Look at this, she's trying to get the sight of the shelling. I mean, it creates a lot of dust in the air.
Stay there!
Alright.
No, okay.
Yes, we hear dogs. Dogs, of course, must be extremely alarmed because they have extremely sensitive ears, so the shockwave must be hard to handle for them. The Bitonix in Alexivka is burning Kharkiv, so that was in the night. They already had started strikes toward the manufacturing capacities of Ukraine. So we see just the fire as a result of an attack of some kind. Oop. Some music started playing in the video. breaking near Kharkiv, a unit of the Ukrainian National Guard was from a portable anti-aircraft missile system shut down an enemy warplane in the Gzaz area. So that's a shooting of a Russian warplane by the anti-air defense systems of the Ukrainian, which remain effective as of now. So it seems that although Russians control the sky, they cannot be anywhere in the sky. They can get shot down from men pads from the ground. The Ukrainian army, so that was a picture, and that's the video of the shooting down of this probable plane, although it could be, I don't know, it could be something else, perhaps an helicopter or a missile, but they say it's a plane. And it seems that the plane has crashed to the ground following this attack. We have a video directly from the resistance against the tanks. So this is, I believe, around Kiev. And they're starting to attack the tanks that have accumulated around there. And look at how they do. They come in hiding, the Ukrainian army. They have these... I don't know how you call them, rockets or anti-tank defense. And they're going to shoot the tank from relatively far. And they're going to be successful at making the tank catch fire with this weapon. They will shoot two of those. Look at this. Look at this, it's a beautiful little rocket. It's surprising, it's very small, it's very thin. I didn't know it was that small.
Готовы? Выстрел.
Давай, 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 заряд, давай. And there you go. It's been shot toward the tank. We'll see the tank as a result of the strike. Now he's recharging immediately. Hop, he has another one now. You don't want to shoot, you don't want to touch the trigger accidentally on this. I was looking at him pointing toward the ground. Oh my god, you don't want to blow yourself up. Like in Team Fortress 2. And this would be the result. A tank on fire, basically, with all of the ammo inside the tank, potentially contributing to further fire and explosion. It's amazing. These guys are filming this like it's some sort of hobby. It's like they're destroying a Russian tank. Quite shocking. Well, Stephen Robinson sends me a claim on Twitter. Russian Ministry of Defense, Ukraine's SBU, along with Azov, have booby-trapped a nuclear reactor at Kharkov Institute of Physics and plan to blow it up and accuse Russia of carrying out a missile strike onto it. Well, that is interesting intelligence information. I don't know that I can't verify this, but it's certainly a claim on the Russian side. So this would have been posted 20 minutes ago. They might have done this. I don't know what they want to cause. Would they cause a nuclear explosion, or did they booby trap it with just regular explosives that would make just the reactor leak and becoming uncontrollable? It's certainly, we've seen this two times in this conflict. It's the first time I ever see this. It's countries trying to preempt campaigns of disinformation and false flagging before it happens. We've seen the US attempt this at the beginning by saying, oh, Russia will... Jimmy, two times I'm going to ban you because you're annoying. You're just annoying physically. Bye. We've seen the US do this. By saying Russia is about to make false attacks on to DPR, LPR to justify the war. And now we're seeing Russia do this against the Azov battalion, saying they're about to blow a they're about to blow a nuclear plant so that it looks like we caused it. That is fascinating. This is the videos of the attack on the airport in the western in the west of Ukraine. So that's an airport that hasn't been reached yet, and there weren't much strikes on the western Ukraine. But this morning it started, missiles being sent to the airport so that they can't have resupplying of aircrafts that then fight more in eastern positions. So that's a resident filming a missile headed toward the airport. Wow. And we're going to look at the strike from... it's not this one. Where is it? Did I lose that strike? There it is. Right here. 8 Russian ballistic missiles striking the airport fields. Those are quite big explosions. Yeah, Justet says I should be banning those people who claim that the vids are fake. Yeah, the thing is, sometimes there is a genuine interest in people improving the show, and they say, you know, this vid is fake, and sometimes the vid is fake. But if you say fake, fake, fake at each video, you're going to become annoying to me, and I will eventually ban you. That's something I was banning a lot on YouTube, because there was the principle of precaution. You know, the at YouTube, the problem was that you could put me in trouble by saying stuff, and you could lead to a demonetization of the video. But here on Odyssey, I've been much looser, because I don't have the principle of precaution. Generally, Odyssey does not punish its creators for what the crowds are doing. So, but it's time we start cleaning. It's time we start improving the quality of the comments, because some people are genuinely annoying in here. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, if you were living in the Ukraine during this war, would you be streaming on the internet or fighting the bad guys or go into hiding? Again and again in my life, I have run. I have run and went into hiding against state oppression. And I guess this wouldn't be different. If there was a way out for me, I would probably run and relocate in a safe place for my family. When I was a young man, 19 years old, maybe I would have joined the fight. I was some kind of a nationalist, and I would have been like, yeah, we need to defend my country. But what I've learned is that life is always on the run anyways. You're always running from somewhere, from someone. Either it's the enemy, or it's the enemy inside your own nation. And what I found is that there is some happiness to be found in constantly running until you find a place to establish yourself. I had to change my life. I had to level down to having nothing 3 times in my life, escaping 3 different oppressive states. And some of them were just local states, some of them were changes of country. And if you apply this algorithm in your life, live, test the liberty, get oppressed, run away. You will eventually run away to a place where your liberties won't be oppressed anymore. Took me 3 times being on the street, 3 times having 0, 3 times having no asset, no ownership at all of nothing, 3 times escaping violent governments that attacked my family and myself, and I found happiness in the North Pole where there's no human beings. So if I was in Ukraine, that's what I would do. I would run. Not run out of cowardice. Run out of hate for humanity. That's what I would do. Destroyed Russian artillery units, so more defensive operations on the Ukrainian side. They are wasting completely those convoys and units that are too advanced and that can't get back up. Lots of destruction. Oh, look at this. Artillery unit all aligned. So this could have been shelling happening from this position. It looks like the artillery unit was aligned to truly shell. Doesn't look like they were parked. A missile which has been apparently knocked down by the air defenses of the Ukrainians. Firestarter says these Ukrainians. I'd be surprised if the artillery units were Ukrainian, because I don't know that the Ukrainian defense shells like this. It looks like artillery unit that you would align at the siege of a city or at the siege of a military position. A missile has been intercepted by Ukraine defense.
Вот така от хуйня нам сьогодні прилетіла.
They also say it could be some piece of aircraft. I'm not fully certain.
Под двор, блядь, ебать. Ебать хуйня, блядь. Просто пиздец якийсь. Вот это жопа.
Go away, says Jeff. Would you fight to defend a true libertarian state from an encroaching totalitarian force? It depends. It depends on lots of things. It depends on, can you win? That's the first question. To me, the question of reality as a prior on the question of whether you should do something. So I would ask myself, can I actually contribute to a victory? If I cannot contribute to a victory, then the question morally becomes a totally different one. For example, if I was in the Ukraine situation, my first question is there a chance for the Ukraine military against Russia? The answer is no. Therefore, the moral question doesn't become, should I win for Ukraine against Russia? Because that's impossible. So then the question becomes, do I want to die just to make a statement? Do I want to go full 300? And depending on the situations in my life, there are times where I would go full 300, and there are times where I wouldn't. For example, if I knew that all my life is set, my book is out, I've said everything I had to say, let's say I'm 49 years old, my kids have become adults, and they flew away, and they're happy, and I have nothing else to bring to the world. If I'm 49 years old like this and my location gets attacked, I may go full bazooka, like boomer style. Like, I'm going to just go into the fury, the salvo of bullets, and just try to shoot one last bazooka before I die. This could happen. If I was like a 19-year-old and I'm full of testosterone and I'm like, yeah, you know, life might work if I continue, but I can also take the risk and go full 300 and make a statement. I could be driven toward this. But in situations where I have a family, I want to protect the life I have, and I'm still necessary to this family, that would be a situation where I flee. So it all depends on the circumstances, you know? That's what I was thinking a lot today, seeing these videos and seeing like boomer-aged people in Ukraine getting killed. Lots of blood, lots of death that I've seen, which I won't show on the show. But it's happening. I mean, there are people getting shot in their car as they try to flee. There are people who were shot as they were trying to escape Kiev. And I'm not saying like the Russian military is dirty. I think it's it's the casualties of war. But I was thinking, when you're 50, 55, 60, it's not a big problem to die for a cause. Like, I don't want to minimize the death of these people there. But, you know, this kind of Western statistical outlook on death, where, oh my God, they killed that much people. Oh my God, COVID killed that much people. Oh my God, the Russian army killed that much civilian. The fact is, you can choose to die. You can choose to make a statement that, you know, if I was 55 years old, I would know that I'm going to die in the next 10 years. And it's not like I'm going to accomplish anything after 55 years old of any importance. So I could very well make the choice of dying. I wouldn't do a suicide because I think, I mean, unless I have some major disease and... But generally, I'm not a suicidal guy. But there is a kind of decision-making space, which we never talk about, but which is that space where you say, you know what? What I can do with this bazooka in the next 10 seconds is funnier than the next 10 years that I could have if I wasn't shooting this bazooka. Another LNR Russian convoy hit by Ukraine forces. Let's have a look.
Вот такая колонна техники. Противника. Давайте быстро оружие все забираем. Пулеметы, автоматы, гранатометы, все нахуй. Вон пулемет валяется, заберите пулемет.
Oh my God, I'm looking at this and I'm like, I hope this is a water bottle, because if it's some kind of giant rocket that's fuming like this, I don't want to be close to it. Traditional values, says Jeff. Ukraine has no chance. Why is the media propaganda prolonging the fighting and urging citizens to die with no hope of victory? All to spite Russia? It's insane. Here's the game I think they're playing, and I think you're totally right. It's like, it's ridiculous how the people are cheering the self-victimization of Ukrainians in this thing, because anyone objectively should agree that, you know, there's no chance. Any man that you send to the front, you know why there's no chance? It's because Vladimir Putin can get pissed off tomorrow, and if there's three cities that are troubled to him, he can say to his tank, How about you back up 10 miles and I'm going to blow it with a nuclear bomb? It's like, so you're either going to lose. It's like those The Edge of Tomorrow, you know the movie? You can't win against the insects because the insects have a way to rewind time. And they're always going to do whatever they need to win. Like, you can try 10 million times. They're going to find a way to beat you. And Russia is going to find a way to beat you. What you've been saying up to now is a gentle Russia compared to what it can do. That's the problem. So, what are they doing then? What they're doing is they are setting up the next war against Russia. They are warmongering for the future. So they are stacking claims of casualties and crimes of war, because down the line they know that in 5 years from now, 10 years from now, they want a war with Russia. They're going to need a war with Russia. And that's what they're doing. Right now they're noting on the notepad, crime of war, evil Putin. They are building up the conflict for a future conflict. So it's important because a lot of people accuse me of being pro-war in this conflict. It's important to understand that you can be favorable to a certain position within a conflict because you understand that the opposite of this view leads to a massive war in the future. Right now, the people, amazingly, the people calling for peace in the media and Ukrainian resistance in the media, I see them as playing the warmongering game on a much longer scale. That's very hard to understand. People are too primary in their interpretation. It's like either war or peace. If you take the side of Ukraine, you're on the side of peace. You're on the side of non-invasion. But no, in the long run, the peace position right now is a warmongering position of a much bigger war and a much more bloody war. Go away, says on Entropy. Have you seen the screenshots of Ukrainians that find the relatives of dead Russian soldiers on social media and then send them picture of their dead family members? Really fucked up stuff. One that I saw was Ukrainian sending the picture of dead soldier on the ground to his teenage son on Facebook. I haven't seen that. But I have no, it doesn't surprise me. I've seen similar stuff. I've seen them trying to get their prisoners of war to contact their mother. What I see is an all-out type of dehumanizing war here, which is very, it's very shocking. Like how much hate the Ukrainian has for the Russian. It tells me that there was something going on before. That's why I keep alarming people to the reality of the anti-Russian genocidal position in Ukraine, because it's a thing. You don't come to hate that much and to do that kind of dirty war stuff if you don't have a profound hate inside of you for the enemy. Steven Robinson says, Ghost of Ukraine shut down by world record best shot. Follow the thread. Okay. Well, you're sending me a text description, so there's no video. I'm not going to consult this since I can't verify. Those are the men pads. So those are the famous ground weaponry that can target an aircraft. Here we can see a Ukrainian soldier carrying these men pads. And there's a whole aesthetic that they're developing. They're making cartoons of, you know, the Ukraine soldier standing with his men pad in front of a Ukraine flag. It's becoming a kind of heroic, mythical thing on Twitter right now. A Russian convoy spotted in Belarus, so still more forces are coming from Belarus. We haven't seen the highest assault yet, because fresh videos show further forces are being brought from Belarus, so we can expect the northwestern siege to become more and more capable of defending themselves and more and more capable of sieging the city as time progresses. Riding the Tiger says, JF, Russia are doing the same, except they are making sure the world knows they aren't afraid to actually engage in conflict the next time. Yes, so that's what we have is a build-up of an escalation, but there are two attitudes toward this build-up. The West is being passive-aggressive, very dirty, very, I know we're going to say this, but we don't really mean it. And we're not going to send soldiers, but we're going to send jets. And, oh yeah, we're going to do a trade of jet here, which we know will result in a jet eventually being given by Poland to Ukraine. It's like, bro, you're doing all of this in public. That might make sense if you do it covertly. But it makes zero sense if you're doing it publicly. Zero. Because all is fair in love and war. That is a saying that I've learned from Coach Red Pill. If Putin decides this is an attack on Russia, it's an attack on Russia. It really doesn't change your whole indirect strategy, won't change a thing. Here we have the last moment of a man carrying a camera. It is an explosion that happens directly as the man is driving by. I just want to show you the intensity of this shockwave. It is a Russian missile that strikes extremely close to a dash cam. Somehow the dash cam has preserved the video so that we can see it. Here it is. So here in slow motion, you will see a building here. Boom, and the camera gets blown by the shockwave. It is believed that the man didn't survive, but we have this explosion. Let's look at it again in regular speed and in slow motion. Those are enormous shockwaves. It was at a certain distance, but the shockwave totally probably shook the camera, but perhaps even the car. So that's what's going on. That's why I said a week and a half ago, I said leave the city unless you are someone who wants to die at the hands of the Russian missiles and army. Leave. You're not going to make a stand. You're not going to make it glorious by just dying there. Everything will get bombarded where resistance exists. That is the reality. Russian army attacked Kramatorsk with cruise missile. At least 2 civilians died, more wounded. So we're seeing entire apartment blocks completely wasted by Russian missiles. That is progression in the east. There are some civilians that are disparate and their house is getting destroyed. This is a house that had a family in it. They sent away the kids 10 minutes before the strike destroyed their house. And so the kids are safe, but the father was still there and he saw his house catch fire.
This is the reality of Russia's invasion. Yevgen watches his family home ablaze.
Well, thankfully he's alive and his children have been sent away, so right on time, but this should have been done a long time ago. You cannot stay there unless you can be in an area that you know will not get struck and you know that you're comfortable dealing with the Russian army once they dominate over your nation. For example, I'm not afraid for Coach Red Pill. Coach Red Pill could be behind the Russian front line, and I think he's such a talented socializer. He's going to get friends with the Russians, and he's going to show them that he's no threat, and he's going to say, "Hey, I was on Russian TV." You know, that's the kind of position where you can be comfortable. But if you are in any big center that will get striked, you shouldn't stay there. That's very dangerous. Ukrainians fleeing the town of Irpin, just outside Kiev, were caught by Russian shelling. So there was an attempt at fleeing from Kiev in the town of Irpin, but there's starting to be tension. It's very hard to have humanitarian corridors because there's people shooting on both sides, and they have to put the survival of themselves and the survival of their siege first. So a lot of Ukrainians trying to flee from Kiev are being unsuccessful, or they have to face salvos of bullets and shelling as they flee. Firestarter says, "How do they know it's Russian artillery?" Yeah, I mean, we don't always know, and sometimes appearances can be deceptive. So when I'm trying to cover this, you will often hear me say, "It is claimed that," and that's what I mean. I mean, someone says this, but I can't verify. So I'm trying to say it the most time where it matters, but sometimes I may forget, and I hope it's understood that we are faced with a war. And I'm trying to figure it out as it happens live, and I'm trying to give fresh information. That's why when you come to JFG tonight, you generally won't see videos that are 4 or 5 days old, or you won't see much scam videos and much videos that turn out to be fake, and that's because I'm making the best assessment I can. But it's certainly not to the point where I can say with certainty that each of the videos are to be interpreted as they are stated. But a state can be reported journalistically. If you say someone states that these are Russian artillery, that's true. Someone stated it. But whether it's true that they are Russian artillery, this can be subject to review. But what I also do is, if something that I covered turns out to be false, I always make a comeback on it. So I always remember in my head everything that I've talked about on the show, and if 2 days down the line we know more, I will come back to it. Alan Playa says, none of the clips shown have been convincing of anything. It's amazing the level of propaganda. Try to... Alan Playa is always this guy who says, fake, fake, fake. Try to integrate, what can I say is not fake here? Is there a war in Ukraine? Yes, certainly. Are these videos showing me that there is some degree of military violence happening right now in Ukraine? Of course. That's undoubtable. And just try to be a little more like, okay, there's a couple of things from these videos that I can say for sure is true. And then there's a couple of things that perhaps they're true. Try to be a little more complex, because if you just stand in the regular chat and say, fake, 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 you are missing. You are missing on an opportunity to know some truths. This one will trigger Alan Play, I'm sure. Apparently they use scarecrows. I think it's a quite clever tactics. Scarecrows, probably that's due that's because they're trying to attract airstrikes that may be done visually, and the plane pilot may not be able to tell from a high distance, like, this is not a true human. So perhaps they're trying to attract some missiles in that direction to spare the actual defense points. But I can see this perhaps working once, but eventually there will be enough Russian forces around to make the difference and to pass over these standpoints easily. Putin orders companies to make debt payments to foreign creditors in rubles. That is very important. So there was a question of whether Russia, you know, has totally barred foreign payments to people who make bids for buy or sell and interest payments. So what that meant, as I explained last week, is... essentially, there will be, if you had investment, if you had bonds in Russia or something of that kind, you won't get your payment. Your thing just disappeared, mostly, if you're a foreigner. And okay, that is one thing. But there was a question, will Russia just say, all right, you guys want to cancel me? I don't pay my debts anymore. Or will they pay their debt? And Vladimir Putin has kind of chosen halfway through these two things. He's not decided to fully go rogue and say, I'm not paying my debts anymore to any country that is canceling us. But he's chosen to make it so that they will pay their debt interest, but they will make these payments in rubles. So what does that mean? I mean, these other foreigners are going to be stuck with rubles, but they won't be able to use them in any other way than to buy Russian stuff. But in many countries, they will be kept from buying Russian stuff by the sanctions. So he's basically saying, all right, you want to cancel me? All right. I'm going to keep honoring my debt payment against you, but I'm going to do so with monopoly money. And you can vouch. You can use your monopoly money as a voucher to buy Russian oil from me. Because the ruble has been dropping in value across the world, and so it's basically eventually it's pronounced rubles. Say go away. The same way you would say ruby. Okay, rubles. No matter what. Basically, Putin is ensuring that the only way you can benefit from these interests that he's going to pay you is through favoring the Russian economy against the sanctions. So it's very interesting. It's a very interesting strategy. I don't know. I don't fully understand what's on his mind there. But I guess what's on his mind is create an additional pressure for Western sanctions to eventually be removed, which is why I was asking on Entropy today, do you think sanctions will be canceled this year? Because imagine you are a billionaire and you've been accumulating billions of rubles, but they are worthless as long as your country makes their sanction. But at some point, if your country stops the sanctions, suddenly you can use this to buy Russian oil. Eventually, you're going to have a bunch of billionaires walking around walking around the planet with so much rubles. They'll be like, hey, I could have a million boats of Russian oil right now. So how about you stop these sanctions, Joe Biden? But I think that's what's on the mind of Putin. It's a clever strategy. I thought he would go full rogue. That's what, because I'm an emotional man, that's what I would do. I would be like, okay, you guys want to cancel me? You lose everything. You have no more assets in Russia. Fuck it. But Vladimir Putin is more subtle than me. He's a more refined man, a more gentleman type of guy. He decided to go this way. U.S. Senate passes bill to end COVID-19 national emergency. Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about. Isn't it amazing how this war totally made COVID disappear? We had the State of the Union address without masks being required. We have the media is totally shifting their coverage. No one wants to hear of COVID anymore. It's a matter of time before the COVID rules will be abolished everywhere. It's like COVID suddenly disappeared. Vladimir Putin did it all by himself. Congratulations, Putin. You've abolished COVID almost as quickly as COVID abolished the flu. And that's a lot. That's not saying nothing, you know. Deutsche Bank braces for massive disruptions due to reliance on Russian IT workers. This will be our last news item for tonight. While Credit Suisse, and by extension its clients, face brutal margin calls on their Russian assets, Deutsche Bank is struggling with a different but equally vexing issue involving its Russia exposure. The bank is bracing for the loss of more than 25% of its investment bank IT specialists as sanctions against Moscow threaten to cut off the bank's key tech centers in Moscow and St. Petersburg. This is why it's all crap, this whole sanction stuff. It's the West punishing itself. And I'm tempted to think that perhaps some of this war has something to do with competition within the West itself. What we may be looking at is an overtake and some banks perhaps deciding that these other banks were so invested in Russia that they want to destroy them. We may be the case that this whole conflict is a kind of a proxy fight between different players in the West. Carlos Killface says, Jeff, do you have any comments on Russia possibly using gold-backed currency? You know, I don't care all that much about the gold thing. I know it's a thing in crypto where they say, oh, things used to be good back in the days where we were backed by gold. And I think that it's not so much the gold. I think it's to have a certain limit. To have a physical limit to how much you can print money is a healthy thing to have for a civilization. But I think crypto solved this problem. Crypto has decided to cap with a ceiling the number of coins available. As such, crypto has solved the problem of being tempted to print more. Crypto has said, yeah, there's not going to be such a thing as printing. Because let's not forget that there is such a thing as gold printing. It's called mining. And The only reason why a gold standard is a positive thing for the economy is that it keeps the temptation of printing lower, and that temptation comes with a cost. It's just as good as a gold standard to just say, I'm going to make a currency that I'll never print. So I don't care. Russia can do this. Maybe it's going to be successful. And by the way, it's just a way to stash gold, really. You're stashing gold on the back of, as a state or as a central bank, you would be stashing gold on the back of the productivity of your economy, basically. It's not necessary to do so. It's a big waste of fucking gold. Callum Hawk says, I figured out how to solve this conflict. The US should leave NATO temporarily and then launch the nukes. If they immediately rejoin NATO, then technically NATO wouldn't have touched Russia. That's, I mean, you're probably trolling there, but it's amazingly what the US is doing right now. It's like, we're gonna leave NATO. Oh, here's some jets. Oh, we're back in NATO. It's like, you're not going to fool anyone, especially since you're strategizing publicly about all this. Ultimately, you are trying to give jets to Poland so that Poland can give jets to Ukraine, so that Ukraine can use jets to fire onto Russian forces. Go away, says Jeff. Will we have Bitcoin too when Bitcoin reaches its ceiling? We need to give a chance for the citizens of developing nations to get rich of the crypto boom. No, I don't think we should. I don't think... No, I think we should just keep going with Bitcoin. There's already, 64 halvenings or 32 or 16. I don't know exactly the number, but they're already scheduled and they will already happen. And that's fine. And let's not forget that the goal of crypto is not to get rich. Although crypto has been amazing to us because most of the people watching the show at least have heard of crypto before the normies did. And it was good, but it's not the function of crypto. All right, that is it for tonight, boys. Much love. Do we have anything on schedule? Maybe I should schedule some guests. I've been lazy on the scheduling, but it's time maybe to have some guests. I'll see who I can get for this week. But other than this, we will keep doing the war coverage, and I'm also keeping my reading of Frank Salter, although the war coverage takes so much of my time, I have difficulty progressing. But eventually we're going to get our Frank Salter book episode. And then someone else had paid a super chat to tell me to read Virus Mania by Thorsten Engelbrecht. Well, the whole COVID stuff has gone off my news radar since a couple of days, but hopefully I can get to this book and say something about it. If it's not a full show, maybe just say some words about the book eventually after the Frank Salter episode. Stephen Robinson says, video, Russian forces fire rockets at Physics Institute in Kharkiv with nuclear reactor inside. Ukraine accuses Putin's forces of firing missiles at Kharkiv Institute of Physics and Technology. Okay, let's have a look at this video. Yeah, well, that... Yeah, well, in the current context where you just told me that there might be a false flag operation going on, I don't know. I mean, I'll tell you what. I've been seeing what happened with the Saturn nuclear reactor. And I've been convinced that there was an attempt on the Ukrainian side to make it look worse than it was. And what I've seen up to now is a very decent approach by Russian forces of the nuclear question. They have been extremely reasonable in their bombardment of these installations, targeting administrative buildings. I'm not scared. I'm not scared of a massive issue with all this, although I know it's a big point of the propaganda of Zelensky. I'm not going to fall for it while we're live. I'm going to see how it develops, but my guess is there's not going to be a massive issue, and if there's a massive issue, perhaps we're going to study the possibility of false flag operations, if there's evidence for it. Much love, everyone, and sleep well. I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you.